Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Appreciate you being here today on a Friday. Happy Friday. There was a story in the Los Angeles Times. I saw Elon Musk. It's got a paywall, so I couldn't read it, but I saw Elon Musk tweeted it out last night. And the headline is, with election looming, the United States is trying to make people citizens at the highest rate ever. They are trying to give people citizenship at the highest rate ever with the election looming and coming this November. And Elon Musk's point was they are definitely playing some games here. Here to talk about all this, including the shocking revelations of those numbers at the border, is my friend Caroline Levitt. She is the national press secretary for the 2024 Trump campaign. Caroline, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you doing?
Doing great, Rich. 39 days to go. It's great to be with you again.
Yeah, it's great. We're under 40 now. This is good. Under 40, and J.D. Vance is going to be campaigning in Pennsylvania this weekend, specifically in Bucks County. President Trump was in Western PA just a couple days ago. That was big. The farmers love him out there. That was good stuff.
Yes, well, we love the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. There's no doubt about it. As you know, President Trump will be back on Sunday in Erie for a rally, and we're going to be back in Pennsylvania many more times between now and the election as well. Pennsylvanians get it. You guys have been hurt by Kamala Harris's terrible policies. She wants to implement her long-promised ban on fracking, and she's been a disaster at the border. She's making her way to Arizona today, and it's too little too late. Last-minute border trip and some new ads trying to claim she's tough on border security. I know the people of Pennsylvania are smarter than that. Look at what she's done over the past 4 years, and a new border numbers out today showing that she has allowed thousands and thousands of convicted criminals, murderers, rapists, people convicted of sexual assault to roam freely in our country. It is disqualifying, and I know the people of Pennsylvania know that, Rich.
Yeah, Caroline, let's look at some of those numbers. So 13,099 convicted murderers, 15,811 convicted rapists, 425,431 convicted criminals in total released roaming the streets of the United States of America. I mean, that's insane. That's like something out of a horror movie, and you go, that's not real. That can't be possible. And yet, here we are.
Yeah, it does sound like it couldn't be real, but it is. This is Kamala Harris's America. I mean, what can you expect? On day one, she and Joe Biden reversed all of President Trump's effective border policies. They basically said to the entire world, hey, if you want to come to the United States of America, come on in. We will fly you on the taxpayer's dime to the city of your choice. We'll put you up in a luxury hotel. We'll give you a prepaid debit card, and you're welcome to stay, even if you commit violent crimes. We've seen this time and time again. The Venezuelan gang that took over the apartment complex in Colorado, many of those convicted gang members in Venezuela were engaged in a shooting, and then the next day, they were released on a $1,000 bond. It's despicable. And how many more Americans need to die at the hands of these convicted murderers? How many more innocent American women and girls need to be raped by these heinous monsters before Kamala Harris finally acts? We had a press call today, Rich, on our campaign where three angel moms graciously volunteered their time to share their stories about their sons and daughters who have been killed because of the Chinese fentanyl and these illegal convicted criminals that have come over our border. Kamala Harris doesn't care. She's never said their names. She's never reached out to these families. And again, for this alone, it is disqualifying. She does not deserve a promotion to be president. She deserves a demotion to be elected out of office.
One of the signs that I'm looking at that tells me that the world is waking up to the fact that Donald Trump is going to win and be president of the United States is you've got world leaders now coming to see him. So yeah, the British Labor Administrator, he came, Keir Starmer, he met with President Trump. Today, Zelensky met with President Trump. It's like they're understanding right now, UK Prime Minister, they're understanding right now that, hey, you know what, there's probably going to be, this is coming, this is happening. And so all these people who were very critical of him in the past, they want to get in good with him. That's a big sign to me right there.
Yes, that's right. President Trump has received a lot of outreach from foreign leaders all over the world who recognize there's a very good chance that he's going to be back in the White House, and they want him back in the White House because they remember how much more peaceful the world was, how much more stable the Middle East was. You know, Russia was not having this crusade into Ukraine, threatening Poland and our allies in Europe. None of that was happening under President Trump's leadership. And so, you know, while a lot of these foreign leaders like to criticize the president publicly, privately, they're reaching out to him, they're asking for meetings, and they know the truth. They know that four more years of Kamala Harris in the White House, and with her as the leader of the free world, the commander-in-chief of our military here in the United States, the world is going to be a much more dangerous place.
How did the meeting with Zelensky go today with President Trump, Caroline Levitt?
Well, you know, Rich, I wasn't there. I'm not staffing the president today. I'm holding it down at our Team Trump headquarters in West Palm Beach, Florida. But I can tell you what I heard from my colleagues was that it was a good meeting. And President Trump put out a statement himself on his Truth Social saying that, you know, Zelensky knows, just like Putin knows, that President Trump is going to end the war very quickly. And President Trump went to the cameras with Zelensky by his side to answer questions from the media immediately following the meeting. A very sharp contrast, I may add, from Kamala Harris, who literally ran away from reporters when her meeting with Zelensky ended yesterday.
I mean, look, you've been in politics a long time. You ran for office. You're the national press secretary for the next president of the United States. You have a very good chance you're going to be White House press secretary, which is cool for me, since I consider you a friend. I don't know if you consider me a friend, but I consider you a friend. So that's you know,
I consider
that's
you a great friend, Rick.
You see, Caroline Levitt, that's why I love you so much. I really do. You're fantastic. Now, have you ever seen someone so bad as Kamala Harris at this? I mean, she's just bad. Like, sitting down with Stephanie Ruhle, it's like sitting down with an old friend just chit-chatting, and she couldn't even get that right. Come on.
I know. It's atrocious. And Stephanie Ruhle was literally on MSDNC the week before her interview with Kamala saying she's going to vote for Kamala. It was a slow-pitch softball interview, and Kamala Harris still struck out. It was terrible. But you know why? It's because she is a phony politician. She has no conviction of her own. She doesn't know what she believes. She just has advisors who force pre-planned talking points into her brain. She doesn't actually understand the concepts that she's talking about, like our economy, like foreign policy. And it's such a sharp contrast from President Trump, who is always the most well-read person in the room, but also has decades of real-world business experience to bring to the table, understands the policies and the issues that he talks about, has a command of them, and has creative new ideas to solve the problems that Kamala Harris has created and has a real record to run on. Kamala Harris is just another fake politician. And again, we're seeing that today with her last-minute trip to the border. She thinks the American people are stupid enough to believe that now she's all of a sudden tough on the border when she's been chanting around in parades saying, down with deportations, voted against DJT's border wall, said it was evil and medieval and racist. Her actions speak a lot louder than her fake words.
And then she puts the border wall, Trump's border wall, in her commercial, as was pointed out by CNN. And so since she said she's never been to Europe either, now that she's going to the border, does she have to go to Europe next? I guess so, right?
I guess she will have to go over to Europe. I'm not sure she'll be well received there, like she won't be well received at the border, because now
I mean, that was one of the worst answers ever.
Foreign policy.
You remember that day when they were like, she's like, oh yeah, but I've never been to Europe either. It's like, come on, you're so bad at this.
She's terrible. She really is the worst interviewee ever, and that's why her people are keeping her away from the cameras.
Exactly. It's so true. All right, my friend, thank you. I know you got a very busy weekend ahead. 39 days to go. I'm sure I'll be talking to you a lot between now and then. I look forward to it. Follow Caroline on X at K Levitt NH, National Press Secretary for the 2024 campaign. Have a great weekend, Caroline. I know you'll be working hard. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Rich. We'll see you in Pennsylvania soon.
Can't wait.
The Rich Cioli Show. on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so as we continue along with the show, I got a lot of other great stuff for you, but Dr. Victoria Coates is going to join us. U.S. warships come under attack in the Red Sea as nearly two dozen incoming missiles and drones are shot down. Yemen's Iran-backed Houthi militants have attacked numerous commercial military vessels following the October 7th massacre against Israel. But let me play for you a clip of Trump with Zelensky today from Trump Tower. And I think this is the key, right? First of all, I got to tell you, as I'm watching this, Trump towers over Zelensky. And you know Zelensky's a con man, right? This guy's got the biggest long con going, this guy. And he's making billions of dollars off this war. This guy's a con man. And he's standing next to Trump. And here's the thing. And this is the key point. Trump says this war is going to end. And all the critics and everybody else start going, well, how? How's it going to end? How? And that's not the point. He says, we're going to come up with a deal that makes everybody happy, and this war is going to end. You know what the difference is? The difference is that Kamala Harris doesn't want this war to end, because the swamp, the military-industrial complex, all the people getting rich off this war don't want this war to end. So the first step is you have to want something to end, whether it's a relationship or whether it's giving up carbs or whatever it is, 20 pounds. You have to want it first. And until you mentally accept that, it doesn't happen. So you have to want it to end first. They don't want it to end. So they're not even thinking about creative solutions to the problem. You notice that? I want you to keep that in mind, seriously, because I think that that is the key distinction here. Trump says this war is going to end. I'm going to become president, and this war is going to end. And immediately people are like, how? Well, we're going to figure this out. We're going to end it. But you notice that you never hear Kamala Harris say the war is going to end? No. What do you hear Kamala Harris and the Democrats say? They say, we're with Ukraine for as long as it takes. Right? We're going to stand with Ukraine. We'll be in this fight as long as it takes. How long is that? Could be forever? Could it be the next 10 years at the cost of $1 trillion? Whatever it takes. And all the people getting rich off that, they don't want it to end. And who cares if people die? You know, half these people are climate change kooks who think that population is a problem, and they got to thin the herd every now and then, like freaking deer. So they don't really worry about that. You know, the poor schlubs on the front line, you know, the pesanavante, you know what I mean? They don't care. But when Trump says war is going to end, that's why they don't want Trump to be president. Because there's a way to end it, and there's a way to end it because every war comes to an end, theoretically speaking, and a way that ends it that Ukraine is happy with. But first, you have to want to end it. See, they don't want to end it. You know, anybody can take the reservation. You got to actually hold on to the reservation. That's the key point here. So here's President Trump with Zelensky today, cut number two.
Another meeting in the near future between you.
Could very well happen, but I think the president said it the best. This is a war that should have never happened. It should have never happened, and it wouldn't have happened. It's a shame, but this is a war that should have never happened, and we'll get it solved. It's a complicated puzzle, very complicated puzzle, but we'll get it solved, and people get on with their lives. Too many people dead. Too many beautiful cities. I've seen those cities. They're so beautiful, and they, you know, I don't know how you can ever rebuild them the way they were. It's not possible.
You have to come, by the way, to see all us.
I will. It's a beautiful country, beautiful weather, beautiful everything, but we have to get this over with. Yeah. But it's a war, and the president agrees this is a war that should have never happened. Okay? Thank you very much.
And the point about it is that he said he learned a lot. And he said, I haven't changed from the standpoint that we both want to see this end, and we both want to see a fair deal made. It's got to be fair, and I think that will happen. And so that's the distinction here between Trump and Harris. If you get Kamala Harris, this war will continue. There's that $200 billion, which includes the 7 million they found in the couch cushions at the Pentagon. Like, oh, what's under here? Somebody's keys. $7 million. Well, let's send it to Ukraine. You find all kinds of things in your couch. In my house, game pieces. all the time. Matt DeSantis, we don't find $7 million in our couch cushions, but we constantly find game pieces for Monopoly, Clue, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, if you were finding $7 million in your couch, I'd be broadcasting from your house right now.
Yeah, I'd be buying. Well, first of all, I'd own the radio station. That's number one. I'd be running. Anyway, so I think and you also find Lego pieces, too. Those are big. And I mean, food, a lot of food, like disgusting food. Like you'll find gummy bears and you wonder when it was there. But I've never found $7 million in the couch cushions. How much was it? Do you remember exactly the number that they found that they gave to Ukraine? It might have been higher than that, actually.
I thought it was more than $7 million, but
yeah.
Let me double check.
It might have been $7 billion. It might have been with a B. So million's nothing. They send that like in a gift card to Ukraine. They don't even count that. Like, here's a $7 million Visa gift card. I had to pay the $5.95 activation fee, but you can use this. And you can use it like a credit card, Zelensky. So here you go. I think you get those at CVS, if I'm not mistaken. It's like $7 million they wouldn't even bother with a check with that. That just goes right in a gift card. Right on one gift card, too. They don't even have to break it up. Anyway, Trump flanked by Zelensky. I learned a lot in the meeting that he had with him. And they can have a way to end this. But first, you have to want to end the war. That has to be number one. Cut number one.
Our soldiers, our people, of course, it will bring us closer to the peace. We need just peace. We need just peace. It's so important to have just peace for the people, especially for the families who lost their children. It's a big tragedy.
President Trump, have you changed your thoughts on how this war should end, what you think should be done, or do you still stand by some of the previous things?
Well, I learned a lot, but I think I haven't changed from the standpoint that we both want to see this end, and we both want to see a fair deal made, and it's got to be fair, and I think that'll happen at the right time. I think it's going to happen. The president wants it to end, and he wants it to end as quickly as possible. He wants a fair transaction to take place, and I think right now I'm campaigning, so right now I don't have much to do with it other than we're doing very well in terms of the campaign, and I've been saying that I believe if I win, we're going to have a very fair and rather rapid deal. It should stop, and the president wants it to stop, and I'm sure President Putin wants it to stop. And that's a good combination. So we want to have a fair deal for everybody.
What do you envision is fair?
Well, it's too early to say that. I mean, I have my own ideas, and I'm sure the president definitely has his own ideas, but it has to be fair.
This war shouldn't be started, and I think that the problem that Putin killed so many people, and of course we need to do everything to pressure him to stop this war, and he's on our territory. That is the most important to understand. He's on our territory, and how to stop the war, to pressure him as we can, we have to do it.
And do you think that you
let's jump out of this for thank you very much. So did you get that number, Matt, and how much it was? The couch
no,
cushions
I'm still
number?
Looking for it.
All right, still,
I'm
looking,
still
for
looking for it.
It. Yeah. The point about wanting the war to end, all right? So Joe Biden, the administration, has made it very clear how the war ends. Russia has to leave and give Ukraine back everything that it's taken, including Crimea, which, remember, was the red line that they crossed when Barack Obama was president. That is probably not going to happen anytime soon. So when they put out this idea that Jimmy Matthews on the YouTube chat's like, that's BS, Rich. She wants it to end. No, think of the terms they've set here. They have to go back to where they were before they invaded Ukraine in order for the United States to be happy. And that's because they move the goalposts in such a way that they know the war doesn't come to an end because the military-industrial complex is getting so freaking rich off this thing. And bottom line. Those are the people that want to stop Trump. You have to recognize that. You have to recognize that and understand that and figure that point out. And I think you get that. I really do. I think you understand that. I'll grab this other clip of Zelensky with him a little bit later in the show. But I wanted to share this. This is speaking of international affairs here. We're going to talk to Dr. Victoria Coates about this a little bit later. But Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the United States, He said the Iranians made clear they were attempting to undermine Trump's campaign. Yesterday, we had Michael Waltz, Congressman Michael Waltz, talk about the fact that the Iranians were paying sharpshooters. Look, I'm not so sure how much Iran's involved here and how much this is a red herring, but nevertheless, regardless, the attorney general came out, brought up the point about their indicting people related to this Operation North Star, and he briefed reporters on the results of Operation North Star, an initiative aimed at apprehending over 3,000 fugitives and violent offenders in 10 cities. And then he started talking about Iran's election interference efforts. Cut number 8.
The defendants' own words make clear that they were attempting to undermine former President Trump's campaign in advance of the 2024 U.S. presidential election.
And then he dodged the question, which is, hey, do you think it was a smart idea to release the letter from Trump's would-be assassin where he said he would pay somebody $150,000, $125,000, whatever it was, to take a shot at Trump? Cut 9.
You've been criticized by conservatives, Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan in the House, that says he says releasing the Ryan Ruth letter on the criminal docket puts former President Trump in more danger. Can you respond to that?
Look, as I've said, I found the attack on the two attacks on the former president are heinous. I'm grateful that he's safe. Our first job with respect to Ruth was ensuring that he be detained. And when you file a detention motion, the prosecutors have to make the most reasonable judgment they can about what evidence is necessary to ensure detention. That's their goal.
And the other point, too, that I want to make on this is that when you look back at that hearing with the United States Secret Service yesterday and the assassination attempt, remember something that was very critical about this, too, which is what Congressman Mike Waltz said, which is that the counter snipers were late getting there. They weren't supposed to be there originally. And the other issue, too, is that they know that there were people who were offering bounties on Trump. They were trying to find hitmen, and they had this intelligence going into Butler, and yet they allowed Trump to remain on the stage that day. And that's what gets back to what Congressman Mike Kelly said yesterday. Congressman Mike Kelly is the chair of the committee who's going to be on the show next week, and he said, I keep coming back to this point. You got Thomas Crooks on the roof. Crooks is on the roof. We're all talking about Crooks on the roof. And at no point do they say, we got to get Trump inside. We got to get Trump off his stage. We got to move Trump. And Kelly's sitting there going, I can't believe this point. And that, to me, still is the thing that is the most glaring aspect of this entire ordeal in Butler, is that the president is on, the former and future president is on the stage. And they know this guy's on a roof. And then that they can't communicate between the local police and the counter snipers. And then for 2 minutes, the guy's up there and is allowed to take shots. All of it really is just so incredibly problematic. And then, of course, you have the other problem, which is that his body's been cremated. And so figuring out who actually shot him, who actually killed him, we don't really know the answer to that. That's one of those other glaring questions that we have still regarding Butler. It's something that Senator Ron Johnson made the point on Jesse Waters' show the other night. We had one sniper that was interviewed. And this is what he said. Cut number 11.
Well, first of all, people need to understand most of what we know about what happened on July 13th comes from local law enforcement, not the Secret Service, not the FBI. They're still being pretty opaque. I think what stands out to me, I mean, you mentioned the one thing. We had one sniper that we interviewed. He was on the team that had an obstructed view. They couldn't see Crooks. There was a tree of them. Both those snipers apparently believe a bullet went between them. You can hear the whiz crack from the bullet. So that opens up all kinds of questions. They couldn't see Crooks. Crooks couldn't see them. And yet a bullet flew between the Hercules 2 sniper team. You know, the other thing that has been widely reported is local law enforcement took the first shot at Crooks. That local law enforcement officer was confident he hit Crooks. you know, again, we can't verify that because the body's been cremated. We haven't seen the autopsy report. Apparently, we'll have to subpoena it like the House did. We haven't seen a toxicology report. We don't have crime scene photos. We haven't received one of the FBI's transcripts from their over 1,000 interviews. We've been given 12 people to interview. And quite honestly, the only reason we've got some pretty decent interviews out of that is my staff talking to local law enforcement the week after the assassination attempt got the names of Secret Service agents on the ground, or else we'd be floundering and the Secret Service wouldn't be providing us people that provide us any kind of information whatsoever. So again, there, from my standpoint, this continues to be a slow walking of information to us. We don't know anything about crooks. You know, we don't know the encrypted accounts of social media, and yet the FBI releases the manifesto from the other assassin. And by the way, we don't have the CIA or the FBI or the CBP files on that guy either. So again, federal law enforcement is being completely opaque. God bless the local law enforcement officers, first of all, for taking the shot that stop crooks from shooting. We honestly don't know whether he got hit or not because we don't have an autopsy report.
If you wanted to have somebody kill Trump and you know he's not going to get out there alive, it's the perfect setup because the evidence goes away with him. That's the thing. And that's why this is so troubling. All of this around this is so incredibly troubling. And there's so much, there's so many questions around this. All right, quick break. That's the big story of the day brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. We'll talk to our buddy, Dr. Victoria Coates, about all the breaking news regarding Israel. Netanyahu just gave it to the UN. Oh, we got a lot to chat about with Dr. Coates. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Time for that weekly chat with everybody's favorite Phillies fan. She is the former Deputy National Security Advisor to President Donald Trump and the Vice President of the Davis Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. She is Dr. Victoria Coates. Hello, my friend. How are you?
Rich, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. I'm happy. The Phillies are the National League East champions, and how can you not be happy, right?
No, it's amazing. And the last time they won the pennant, my son was 11. He's now 21, which is a big shift.
Yeah.
And so, you know, celebrating this with him as an adult is, you know, it's magical. I can't remember if I told you this or not, but for his 21st birthday, a couple of weeks ago, I put together an album of all of our photographs at baseball events, and there are over 150 of them.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, this is very serious in our house. And so we're pretty happy today. And today has been a day full of good news.
How many games were you able to make when you were the Deputy National Security Advisor to the president? Out of curiosity.
I did some interesting interviews and phone calls from the stadium. our system back in those days is that I would be able to come home for Saturday nights, and I'd take him to the game on Sundays and then would Uber to 30th Street, and I'd get on the train, and the Uber would take him home. So we did a lot of that.
I'm sure if John Brazier can get you a secure line, you know, at the ballpark for the next administration.
He is exactly the person I'm speaking of.
Exactly right. So, you know, if Brazier will help, no doubt about it. All right,
Brazier,
we got a lot of chat about
some real bad situations.
Yeah, he's the best, isn't he? I love that guy. I really do. Yeah. He's like one of my favorite people. He's always in a great mood. I mean, he's got a great job. He's the director of fun and games for the Phillies. So how can you not be in a great mood, right?
Well, and before we turn to substance, I will tell you that while I was in the White House, I did get a White House tour, a West Wing tour for John and for L.A. and for a bunch of the guys when they were in town to play the Nats. And so they've always been really kind to me after that. I mean, they were always
nice.
Kind, but that was fun to be able to give something back to them.
That's good. And, of course, his father-in-law is a legend in Pennsylvania politics, no doubt about that.
Yeah, he is.
A very important guy as we get into these 39 days to go. But I'm not going to talk politics with you. I'm going to talk international stuff with you. But I want to mention that I thought that Zelensky campaigning with Josh Shapiro and Casey was gross. It really was. And Shapiro signing the missiles was gross. The whole thing, I really had a problem with that, this whole notion of them doing what it was literally a campaign event with Zelensky. I mean, it's one thing to do a meeting with the guy like Trump did today, or even Harris did, or I guess that was more of a photo op. But I mean, that was a campaign event, was it not?
No, it was terrible. And I'm embarrassed for the Ukrainians. You might have seen that Speaker Johnson came out and then called for the recall of the Ukrainian ambassador to the U.S., which is why this whole thing was put together. And, you know, I know her. She's a decent human. And I've urged her all along not to politicize this. And, you know, she has utterly unheeded that advice. They only lobby Democrats in the Congress. They don't even offer meetings to Republicans. And this was, I think, just gross disservice to Zelensky himself to put him on a C-130 as if he's coming from a war zone. He was coming from New York City. Mm-hmm. And, you know, have him in his fatigues, getting off the C-130 and signing the bombs, as you said. I mean, it's theater and embarrassing. This is a deeply serious situation. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people have lost their lives. Hundreds of billions of American taxpayer dollars have been poured into this. This isn't a toy.
Right. It's not a toy. And it's an incredibly serious situation. There needs to be a resolution to at some point. And Trump says we're going to find a way. Zelensky today obviously saying, you know, we're going to find a way out of this. And immediately people say, well, there's no way out of it. But am I wrong to say that the administration, the goalposts that the Biden administration have set actually have Russia giving up territory that it took when Obama was president, which is Crimea?
That seems to be their position, that we're going to try to go back to the 92 borders. And unfortunately, the way Obama handled Crimea, which was to do absolutely nothing, ceded that ground to the Russians. Do I wish we could go back 10 years and send a very different message to Putin? I do, but we can't. So, you know, we have to deal with the hand that we've got right now. And that is that the Russians are firmly entrenched in Crimea. Nobody in Europe, let alone in the United States, has the stomach to do what it would need to be done to dislodge the Russians from the peninsula. So it's simply unrealistic. And you might have seen the president or somebody who has access to the president's Twitter account tweeted yesterday that they're going to surge arms into Ukraine now, that he's going to spend every penny in the account during the last months of his presidency. That money was supposed to last until September of next year, Rich. Mm-hmm. And he is deliberately going on a spending spree between now and January so that if Trump comes back in, he'll come back into an empty cupboard. And if he wants to do anything for Ukraine, he'll have to go back to Congress. It's intolerable. It's just a gross misuse of our money.
And with those kind of goalposts, it's almost impossible for this war to end. And that's why, you know, when people say they don't really want it to end because it's such a cash cow for people, it's very hard to argue with them. I mean, that's really impossible to come and negotiate a peace treaty when that's your starting point, I think.
Oh, 100%. And that's what's going on in Washington right now. It's just a trough, and everybody's feeding at it,
yeah,
and getting all these fat contracts, and they certainly don't want that to end.
Let's also think about in terms of what all of this means for the role of Russia with energy going forward, because what amazes me is that right now it's Friday, September 27th. It's 4:38 p.m. And I'm talking to Dr. Victoria Coates, Philadelphia's own, a legend in this city and in our country. And I'm grateful to have her on the show every week. She's so gracious with her time with us. Kamala Harris has still not denounced the Biden administration's ban on liquid natural gas exports as she's trying to win Pennsylvania, as Vladimir Putin is making money selling natural gas to countries like France, for example. And they still have not reversed their position on this. This must be, in the history of stupid policy positions, has to be one of the top 10. Has to be.
It's It's right on up there, and we were honored at Heritage this week to have Governor Mike Dunleavy of Alaska come visit us on Thursday, yesterday, I guess, to help us with the launch of our last chapter of our China energy project, which also deals with Russia, and hear about what could be going on in Alaska if we didn't have this stupid cap and ban. And one of the things the governor said was the administration has taken 66 punitive actions against Alaska during its term. So this is a state in the United States, and they are essentially putting sanctions on that state. I mean, that the punitive actions are the same effect as sanctions we might put on Russia. 66 of them. And they've put on something like 20 sanctions on the Iranians, for example. So they are taking much more aggressive action, legal action, against the state of Alaska than they are against Russia or Iran or China, for that matter. And it's insane. And I think the export ban is absolutely the worst. As we've discussed, the countries that hurts the most are Taiwan and India, who we should be doing the most to help. And, you know, it as well as just being deeply painful for our domestic industry in Louisiana, in Alaska, and, oh, yeah, in Pennsylvania.
Dr. Victoria Coates, let's turn our attention to something else. Obviously, it's very, very pressing, and that is apparently the Ayatollah of Iran put out a computerized image of a drone, a mobile drone thing, killing Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago, at the golf course in Mar-a-Lago, which there's no golf course in Mar-a-Lago. But we know we have credible information the Iranians want him dead. We know that they put out, you know, this whatever to kill him. And you posted on Twitter, you know, there's a great reason why they want him dead, because he would finish what he started. And I mean, there's no doubt that Iran would rather see Kamala Harris in there. So can you explain for us exactly why it is that Iran would be much happier to see Harris win the presidency than Donald Trump? In fact, why they go so far as to try to kill him?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, they are doing their best to vote in this election. And so how they're doing it originally was through this assassination plot against the former president, which was revealed not only through that nasty little video. And bear in mind, nobody else in Iran can tweet except for the senior officials. They're all blocked from Twitter is blocked in the country except for the regime. So they don't see this sort of thing. And then there was the Pakistani national who was scooped up over the summer, who was actually helping them hatch the plot here. And then earlier today, we had the indictment against the three Iranians who were trying to hack into the campaign. I actually got a call from the FBI about that yesterday, because they've hacked me before, too, and they think it's the same people. So grateful to my friends on the FBI who took that action. I'm glad somebody in the administration is paying attention. But again, that's theater. Those guys are in Iran. They don't care that they got indicted to the United States. They don't come here on holiday, although the president of Iran is here being watched by the Secret Service on our dime as we speak. But they are trying mightily to prevent him from getting back in the White House. They love these guys. They love the fact that Rob Malley is still technically employed by the administration, who has been suspended without pay from the State Department for leaking classified information to the Iranians. He's so compromised. They love all these guys, and they are horrified to think that the very strong Iran hawks that were close to President Trump and are still close to President Trump might come back into the administration. And President Trump himself put out a very strong statement about the assassination attempt and his willingness to blow around to smithereens if they, you know, try any more of this nonsense. And I think that's the best possible message to send them.
Yeah, but I loved when he said, and you would think that the sitting president of the United States, Joe Biden, or whoever is really president right now, would put out a statement as well saying Iran, like, how about Kirby? Like, why does Kirby go out there and say something like, stop messing with our guy? If you mess with our guy, we're going to blow you up. I mean, it seems to me that would be the appropriate course of action here, would be to lay a warning. You know, you touch one of ours, we're going to come at you big time. I don't see the United States of America doing that. And that really troubles me.
That would be a normal reaction, yeah. An American reaction, not a partisan reaction. But
certainly be an Italian reaction. That's how I would handle it. That's how my people would handle it.
I think, as I said, we're a melting pot here, Rich. So I think this is just America. And, you know, that this should be absolutely intolerable. And instead, the administration is busy bleating about how they're complaining that the Israelis didn't tell them about the hit on Nasrallah today and protesting to the Iranians that they knew nothing about it and demanding a ceasefire now in Lebanon. That's what they're doing instead of defending the former president.
And right before he came on the air with me, a story came out on FoxNews.com. U.S. warships come under attack in the Red Sea as nearly two dozen incoming missiles and drones are shot down. Yemen's backed Houthi militants have attacked numerous commercial and military vessels following the October 7th massacre against Israel. So let's switch gears now and move over to Israel and talk about that situation. Prime Minister Netanyahu just scolded the United Nations, in fact, a few moments ago. And Matt, I don't know how long that clip is, but he said that the UN General Assembly is a swamp of anti-Semitic bile, and dozens of diplomats walked out during his speech. Do we have time? Do you have time, Dr. Coates? We could play that real quick, and you could react to it.
Oh, sure. No, I really like that clip, so I'll happily hang around for it.
Let's take a listen to that.
The singling out of the one and only Jewish state continues to be a moral stain on the United Nations. It has made this once respected institution contemptible in the eyes of decent people everywhere. But for the Palestinians, this UN house of darkness is home court. They know that in this swamp of anti-Semitic bile, there's an automatic majority willing to demonize the Jewish state on anything. In this anti-Israel, flat earth society, any false charge, any outlandish allegation can muster a majority. In the last decade, there have been more resolutions passed against Israel in this hall at the UN General Assembly than against the entire world combined. Actually, more than twice as many. Since 2014, this body condemned Israel 174 times. It condemned all the other countries in the world 73 times. That's more than 100 extra condemnations for the Jewish state. What hypocrisy. What a double standard. What a joke.
Dr. Victoria Coates, your reaction to what Prime Minister Netanyahu just said?
Yeah, the Prime Minister was un fuego today. I think, interestingly, if the hit on Nasrallah did take place, or that we know the hit took place, we don't know whether or not it was successful. He knew that was going on while he was giving that speech, which makes it all, nobody else did, but he did. It makes it all the more impressive. And I think he is signaling to the world that the gloves are off. The enemies of Israel can be on notice that they're going to, you know, they've got receipts and they're going to be moving through their list of people they consider intolerable threats. And I think that is absolutely the right message to have right now. And the fact of the matter is, Rich, and this is in my forthcoming book, which has a new title, which is called The Battle for the Jewish State. Mm. And I can break a little bit of news here and tell you that the foreword is being written by my dear friend, Senator Ted Cruz. So that just all transpired. It took place a little bit on Ted time. He's not always completely on deadline, but
well, that's great.
But very excited. Yeah, it's very exciting. But one of the points in the book is the UN has been relentlessly exploited, really since 1973, by the Palestinians to create this as the Prime Minister said, that the Flat Earth Society, this kind of double world in which they are the equivalent or even the superiors of the Israelis. And it's high time somebody, you know, called that out. And I think, you know, Netanyahu is doing what he feels he has to do to protect his country. And he's done playing lip service to the nonsense that's going on in the U.N.
Well, it will be an honor to host you for a book event in our area, Dr. Coates, when the book is out. I know there'll be lots of people bidding for that, but I would certainly offer up our services for that. Definitely. Congratulations on that. That's great. And before I let you go, Javier Milei, his speech to the UN was awesome. I actually played most of it on my show yesterday because I thought that guy just hit home exactly what the problem is with the UN, from what it was and what it's become and what it needs to be again. And I thought he nailed it.
it was an extraordinary clip, and we were all roundly sharing that around around the Heritage Foundation. He just speaks our language and speaks to our soul, and we are huge fans and would like to kind of borrow him to come be Secretary of the Treasury for President Trump for a couple of months and help us out. His stock market, which is up 44% since his election, is doing, I think, the best of any exchange on the planet since he came in and started implementing these difficult, yes, but free market, strong policies, and the people of Argentina seem to be hanging with them, even though, as I said, it's a difficult process. There will be some pain in getting this in place, but the path they were on was unsustainable, and he's showing the courage to change it. And it just, it shows you this is possible. If, you know, we don't have to be on this soft drift towards socialism. There is an alternative. And if you have a strong enough leader to make the case, the people will be with you.
So well said. Please follow Dr. Victoria Coates on X at Victoria Coates and catch her. She's always on Fox News as well. And she's always rooting for the Phils. Thanks, my friend. Have a great weekend. We appreciate it.
Thanks. You too.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, don't go away. We got a big 5 o'clock hour for you, too. I got some more audio for you. We got Dinesh D'Souza coming up with his new movie that's out. And Donald Trump just gave a big speech in Michigan talking to the auto workers. So much more to come. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen to me.
That's so true. Well, it is good for one thing, and that's money. Making money. Boatloads of cash. Lots and lots of cash. And it was about $7 billion the Pentagon found in the couch cushions. I said million. I don't know what I was thinking. It must be the meds. Thanks to Guns and Water on the YouTube chat who said, Cioli is the best talk radio host out there. Cioli is the best radio talk host out there. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. And a number of the Cioli army looking out for me by saying, Rich, stop touching your eye. Stop touching your face. I'm trying. I know. It's all itchy. It's all itchy. You know what I mean? And Kimmy says I look good on the camera. So thank you, Kimmy. I appreciate that. Very good. Appreciate it very much. Join our YouTube chat, will you please? And hey, listen, 2 weeks from today, we're live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. So you better be there. You better be there. All right? Or I'll be not happy with you. So be there. All right? Cape May, Grand Hotel, Friday, October 11th. I'll be not happy with you if you're not there. I'm taking names. Whoever's not there is going to be on my not happy list. It's like Santa's list. Bad list. You don't want to be on that list. All right? We got Dinesh D'Souza coming up next. He's got a new movie out called Vindicating Trump, which is in theaters starting today. He's my guest next. 30 minutes of nonstop talk straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.